This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, folks, we continue with Nigel Watson. We're having a really fascinating session here. I'm just going to sit back and listen to him. And Randall, go ahead, please.
Thanks for sharing the stories from the First World War there. For those who aren't as familiar with aviation as we might be, when you were saying that the pilot took a pot shot at the UFO with his revolver, we have to remember that in those days, we're talking about aircraft with open cockpits, and they didn't even carry guns with them for quite a few years in the onset of aviation. It was only finally somebody was ordered to take up a pistol, and then they would literally fly by each other and take shots at each other with revolvers. It's kind of humorous to think about in a way.
They did fit machine guns eventually, but I think they could be as dangerous to their own craft as it could be to the enemy.
First few shot their own propellers off until they figured out how to time them with the engine.
Speaking about that, though, it reminds me of something I recently mentioned it in my book, and I've also written it for 14 times, that there was something that the British pilots called Flaming Onions, and they were like a string of lights that flew into the air towards them, and they thought these lights were connected by a chain, so that if it hit them, the chain would wrap around their aircraft and make them crash. Quite a lot of these pilots reported seeing them, and some even described them moving in quite intricate flight patterns and everything, but none of them actually did any damage to their craft, and they just remind me of the Foo Fighters of the Second World War. So, you know, nothing's new even in ufology. You know, it's the names that change, really, rather than the things themselves. You know, and I suppose in a way it's giving the umbrella title of flying saucer or UFO means that you can actually investigate lots of things that are just strange in the sky. And without that umbrella term or concept, people just thought, oh, that's interesting, or, you know, that's weird. And that was it, really. It didn't really cause much further investigation. And I think in the case of the Flaming Onions, but I think we did look into it, but because it didn't actually cause any harm to the aircraft, they kind of just put it on, you know, we just thought, oh, that's a bit weird, we don't know what it was. And there was a few anti-aircraft weapons that might have also caused this sort of thing. It might have just been because of a rapid rate of fire, it might have caused the optical illusion of these balls of light being attached by a chain or something. So, I think it's, you know, just looking back into historical records and things, it's surprising what you can turn up.
Author William Bramley, he wrote a book called Gods of Eden. And in that book, he was trying to find sort of a common denominator amongst all of the strife in the world and wars and so on. And surprisingly to him, he says, it led him into the whole UFO topic, because it goes back as far as history is recorded. There's, you know, tales of ancient conquests by Alexander the Great describe three instances between 329 and 337 BC when he and his army encountered flying, in what they call them, flying silver shields. So it seems like there is this connection between human war and UFOs, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think when there was a fear of Napoleonic invasions, people thought they saw balloons, you know, lights in the sky, which were attributed to being sort of French balloons. And it was sort of 1890s in Germany, and there was sightings of sort of strange lights and aircraft, which were seen sort of during border tensions in Poland. So I think wherever there's a battle or great tension, if something strange is seen, it's interpreted in terms of, you know, the enemy secret weapons, you know, just as Foo Fighters were thought of as German weapons, but obviously you know, that was something which is something we haven't really pinned down to anything. There again, ball lightning has been another explanation for some of them, but there are some quite intriguing reports there of sort of which seem to be like intelligently controlled balls of light.
And, yeah, they're and very there again, much, they're very the intelligent controlled balls of light or glowing orbs. Those were of the type that were seen during the 52 case we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And in one instance, those actually surrounded one of the jets that had been sent to intercept them. And the pilot saw those lights at the same time as they were being tracked on two separate radars. There's pretty much no doubt there that there was some objective reality to it. And then the pilot didn't know what to do at that point and asked for permission to fire on them, or at least clarification is what to do. And then the lights just zoomed off almost instantly away and out of range and were gone. So it's pretty tough to think that there was any sort of hallucinating going on, or that they were just simply random natural objects that were floating around.
Yeah, because things like ball lightning can be, you know, virtually lethal to human beings in some cases. And yet other cases, there's even been a good story of one entering an aircraft, going into an aircraft and going down the aisle of a passenger aircraft and flying out again without causing any harm. And there, you know, it is going through solid matter, just like an abductee does in one of his, you know, Bud Hopkins's reports. So, you know, ball lightning is breaking the rules of science. And when you think about it, perhaps there could be even more exotic forms of, you know, energy or something that can occur on rare occasions and cause this sort of phenomenon. And also perhaps, you know, I've been reading something where somebody even speculates that ball lightning itself, rather than just being a physical thing, could be some sort of living entity that might just exist for a fraction of time. And, you know, that relates to stories. I think it was Trevor Constable who believed that UFOs were living entities that lived in the atmosphere. And
right, they live in the sky. That was one of Trevor James Constable's books.
Yeah, yeah. They took these infrared pictures of them moving in the sky. So perhaps, you know, perhaps his theories haven't been sort of followed as much as the ET theories or anything, but, you know, there could be more into it than you think. And, you know, I suppose there's no new areas really that you could study in terms of UFO data, really, and to see where it takes you. I think the thing with ball lightning itself is quite an extreme phenomenon. It might be why people have reported them in, you know, as being ghostly like things that have been seen in cemeteries and, you know, regarded as being something connected to the supernatural, as well as like we attribute it to UFO activity or something.
We're going to attribute lots and lots of things as we progress and as we see what kind of echo effect. J. Randall Murphy can produce for us. I'm Gene Steinberg. Our guest this week is Nigel Watson. What that means is you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Jessica Armand, creator of the fluoride-free oral care brand, My Magic Mud. You're going to love our new products. Our cutting-edge oral rinses deeply soothe your mouth and fight cavities naturally. Our breath spray, My Magic Mist, will invigorate your senses with essential oils of peppermint and eucalyptus. Our clinically proven toothpaste and tooth powders whiten your teeth and detoxify your mouth. Buy discounted bundles direct at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off with coupon code GCN10. MyMagicMud.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
He sounds there like the creature, or actually the character who tried to play a creature in the movie The Princess Bride. And you have to have seen The Princess Bride to have any inkling of what I'm talking about there. But so there's a scene.
You're trapped in a cave.
Oh, wow. There we go. You know, we have so many things to talk about, and we're kind of focusing on a narrower area. But I wanted to drop a couple of things that came to us. Maybe we can go catch as catch can here for the remaining three segments or so. The Unexplained Rapid Reads ebooks that you wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you a couple of these things, okay? And we can talk about it. Early on in the history of the PowerCast, like 2006, I can't remember 2006, we talked about spontaneous human combustion. You wrote a small ebook about it. What can we say?
Well, I think this is a very rare phenomenon that seems to it's an intense fire that can consume virtually the whole of a human body, but leave very few traces of an intense fire near the body. So somebody can be sort of burnt to death, but the chair they're sitting on is still in one piece, and you'd think with such an intense fire that the whole house would burn down around them. And these reports go back quite a few years as well, so they're not just a modern phenomenon. And they, sometimes people are fully burnt, but perhaps just a leg left behind that wasn't burnt up. And there are quite a few theories around this. Often we think the majority of the cases seem to occur indoors, but I think there was a case recently in Germany where it seemed to happen to somebody on a park bench. But normally they seem to be indoors. Usually they occur to people who live on their own. And some people have said that a high proportion of the victims have been alcoholics. So, perhaps their body's a bit more liable to burn if they get near the hearth or something. But even so, I think a lot of the cases are really difficult to explain, to have that intensity of heat. There have been a few theories like that, perhaps people slowly, like if they leave a cigarette end or something and it might drop on their clothing, and then the fire might burn for quite a while until it intensifies to such a degree that it will destroy the human body. But it just seems like a lot of these, and also the victim might be, because they drink heavily, would be in such a sort of drunken state that they might not initially notice it.
Basically, then, this is a tragic accident.
I don't know, though, because with such intensity of flame, and also the fact that the victims never seem to move, it seemed to imply more that it happens quite suddenly rather than it being a slow process. And perhaps, there again, it might be something down to something like ball lightning, which I seem to be obsessed with tonight. But, that could be something that perhaps might trigger something like that, because it's very intense electricity or plasma. I think people have tried to explain it, and have done a few different experiments with trying to burn the corpses of pigs and things like that to see if they can reproduce these effects. But, I think some have been genuine accidents, and perhaps a newspaper report has exaggerated the facts, some of the facts and things, and makes it sound more mysterious, like somebody's suddenly burned to death or something, when really it has more that we were near an electric fire or something. But even so, there's still this handful of cases that just seems to indicate explain what's going on.
So with this phenomena here, this could be kind of related. You contributed a chapter to Timothy Green Beckley's book, UFO Hostilities and the Evil Agenda, which says UFOs have been associated with a number of deaths, including Hollywood stars. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I think that one's a case of Somebody, I think it's Caroline Lombard, who's a film actress, who she was in an aircraft that crashed, and I think a UFO or lights were seen in the vicinity. So kind of they were attributed to perhaps causing the aircraft to crash. And, yeah, I think, however true the sightings were or anything, I think it's a good possibility that whether, you know, it was spaceships or ball lightning or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if things like that have caused quite a few aviation accidents and probably highway accidents where people have probably been, you know, looking at a strange light in the sky and, you know, crashed and killed themselves. It's not the sort of thing. If that happens, so you might not, you know, never know why they crashed, but that, you know, that's something that could easily happen because, many years ago I was on holiday in Warminster and we saw a light over the fields, which turned out to be a sort of, advertising blimp, but we didn't know that at the time and the car driver just stopped the car on a bend. We all got out to have a look, but we could have easily have, yeah, and quite a few cars stopped behind us, but we could have, you know, a traffic jam in the middle of the night on a small country road, you know, could have caught, you know, could have had tragic consequences. So I think, you know, UFOs by default can cause, could, you know, could cause, bad accidents and things. And then, of course, there've been cases of people being sort of zapped by UFO beams. Which seems to occur more in South America, really. And, you know, I think often the case that's for most distance, I'm some more convincing because you know less about it. And, but you know, it's quite quite interesting, though, this whole area of UFO hostility because it links with, you know, UFO seen near military bases as well, you know. So, you know, I think it's one of those areas where, you know, you segue into things like cattle mutilation cases, and I think in UFO hostilities is a chapter on, you know, possible human mutilations as well and death by UFO.
Let's do our break here because last week we did talk about cattle mutilations and maybe we can get your slant on that. We have Nigel Watson, we have Gene Steinberg, we have J. Randall Murphy and his Echo Machine. Machine. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
I'm David Hall, founder of Diamond Gusset, where we're proud of our 100% grown and sewn American-made jeans. Whether you're out for dinner, working on the farm, or on the road, Diamond Gusset Jeans offers a full spectrum of styles and sizes for any occasion. To find yours, visit gusset.com. That's G-U-S-S-E-T.com. Our loyal customers enable us to continue sponsoring Liberty Media outlets like the one you're listening to. In Liberty, David Hall, Diamond Gusset Jean Company.
ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro One G2.0 all-in-one filter by ProPure removes and reduces up to 200 plus contaminants, including fluoride, lead, and more. There's no priming required, no add-on filter needed for fluoride reduction, and it's totally reusable. There's a size to fit most competitive brands of gravity water filter systems. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
British authorities are charging the man who allegedly drove his car into a crowd outside Parliament last Tuesday with attempted murder. The 29-year-old British citizen born in Sudan charged with driving the vehicle into a group of bicyclists, pedestrians, and police officers before crashing it into security barriers. Three people injured. Police say the case is being treated as a terrorist attack. However, the man's not been charged with any specific terror-related crimes. During a public appearance in Sacramento a few days ago, protesters shouted down Republican House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy because he supports President Trump's policies. McCarthy says he knows how to handle people who oppose him.
What I have found in this process is you have to take them on. You have to talk about what we have been able to accomplish.
He spoke on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
He's trying to fool us there, goof on us. There was no echo. There's nothing wrong with your television set. We are controlling transmission. Randall, you recall last week we've had a kind of fiery discussion in the forums.
Right.
After we had the interview last week with Richard Bonenfant, and a friend of his, Frank Kling, was posting on our forums, and Chris O'Brien showed up, and there was a sharp debate. So, Nigel Watson, let's just put you in the thick of it here. What's your take on cattle mutilations?
Well, I've never investigated any case like that, but where again, I always associated them with the United States and with these mystery black helicopters. And I think one explanation was that we were to cover up experiments or, you know, like fracking or government activities where we were like testing cattle for radiation and that sort of thing. But it just seems like a rather stupid thing to do, because if it was sort of a government testing thing, wouldn't it be just easier just to haul the cow onto the back of a truck and drive off with it? You know, you might get just stories of disappearances then, but to have these, you know, sinister surgical light incisions and removal of genitals and things seems like, you know, why do that? Which brings us to another explanation that perhaps satanic cults or that sort of thing are sort of practicing their dubious activities on these poor animals. Also, it's not just cattle mutilations, it's other animals that seem to be mutilated. I think up in Yorkshire about a few years ago was a ufologist who collected stories of UFO sightings, and he linked them with like mutilations and death of rabbits and pets. In England, we've also had, in the early 70s, there was a wave of phantom helicopter sightings, but I don't think any sort of mutilations were associated with that, but probably because nobody, you know, looked for the link, really. So, you know, I think the mutilation thing is another area of ufology that's almost compartmentalized and is a sort of an area of study in itself.
Well, then you've with these cattle mutilations, some of them, you've got these burn marks. And, you know, I'm tempted to say the cow went into a hypnagogic state and was hit by ball lightning, but we'll just skip that and say, okay.
even on Dartmoor, again, we've had cases, I think, of ponies being tortured or mutilated. That's been attributed to Satanists and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's something that seems to crop up in other parts of the world as well.
Let's suppose that aliens do have some sort of involvement with these. Well, then we do have these incidents with cattle that have shown these burn marks. Mm. And then we've got these spontaneous human combustion things where, you know, conceivably some kind of a technology that burns things from the inside out, sort of maybe, I don't know, along the lines of microwaves or something. I mean, when we see these effects in, say, you know, the science fiction movie, someone gets zapped by a ray gun and they just sort of disintegrate, and leaving everything else pretty much intact. I know it's out there. This, again, is fringe ufology, but some of it is pretty weird, you have to admit.
Oh, it's just made me think about the fact that we call it spontaneous human combustion, but has there been any cases of animal spontaneous combustion, you know, where animal corpses have been found with just a part of them? I suppose people would just presume they've been burnt in a campfire or something like that, but it does make you wonder, really, if there's no new area of study to explore, really. A bit gruesome, really, I think.
I was sort of joking about the ball lightning thing with cattle, but it was just the other day after the guest that we had on, we were talking about cattle mutilations, I ran across a picture of a cow that had actually been hit by lightning. It was all burnt. It was still alive, and it had these really bizarre-looking burn marks on them in a kind of like a lightning. Yeah, it was really quite, you know, the poor cow, right? So it does happen.
I think also, I think lightning has been used as an explanation for landing marks and things like that, where people have seen something in the sky and then perhaps have found what they thought was scorched ground where a UFO, I think, might have landed, and some of them might have been caused by lightning strikes. I think that's the thing with UFOs. If it's sort of a light in the sky can be associated with other things like, you know, there's been animals being mutilated or by, you know, or different other factors. And I suppose if you've got a ufologist there, it will link anything with anything if you give him half a chance. It's a bit scary in itself, but I suppose in a way, because I look at things from a UFO perspective and you link it with UFOs, whereas I suppose it's a particular way of looking at anything weird going on.
Well, maybe we can sort of skip to something a little bit different now, bringing into your knowledge as a psychologist. Now, in one of your articles, you outlined some of the factors we'd have to contend with if there were an actual alien invasion. And one of them, we have the theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking saying, they may not see us as any more valuable than we see bacteria. And Michio Kaku is, if they're hostile, it would be like Bambi meeting Godzilla. And the skeptic Robert Schaefer says to condense what he says into a single sentence, that waging a war on another planet would be a logistical nightmare because of the vast distances. But how do you think the world would respond to actual disclosure or an alien invasion where they just showed up and said, well, we're here now, you know, like it or not?
I think somebody like Stephen Hawking was a bit contaminated by a similar viewpoint that occurred with Orson Welles' Mass Panic that he created with his War of the Worlds broadcast. And I think people have got so used to the idea of alien invasion now, I don't think there'd be a mass panic unless, you know, one turned up, you know, like in these old 1950s science fiction films where they sort of, you know, start zapping people in the streets. But I think people have come to find the idea of alien life or even UFOs to be more acceptable. So I think unless it, you know, they were being really hostile, I don't think it would cause mass panic, really. But it would have a lot of repercussions on perhaps the, you know, financial markets and technology and religion, really. So I think, and politics. So, but I don't think it's something we can really be, you know, it's just, I think it's just a fear of the unknown, really, isn't it? That we don't know what, even if we got into contact with some alien civilization on another star system, would we be able to communicate at all? You know, we can't even communicate with dolphins, and, you know, our the type of communication we have with our own pets is different from, like, the kind of communication we're having now. So, in a way, I suppose that our idea of Charles's thoughts that we are property is something like, perhaps, you know, aliens would treat us either like pets or, you know, would they treat us like pets or would they treat us like we're a nuisance? Or, you know, some, you know, ufologists like Bud Hopkins have said, you know, are they just using us for, you know, a breeding program to create hybrids?
We got more to come. Alien hybrids, or hybrids, as Dr. David Jacobs refers to them. Nigel Watson, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, will he give us echo? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
That sliding echo, it starts with no echo, and then the echo increases. I'm expecting with the next show, or perhaps with the episode of After the Paracast, things would get even more interesting. On that score. It's really, really, really fun. Let's continue with Randall and Nigel. Go ahead, please.
I tend to agree with the skeptic Robert Schaefer, actually, in that it would be a logistic nightmare of trying to invade another world from another planet. There's a lot of energy involved just getting here, let alone managing a supply chain.
Perhaps it was the idea of invasion as a human concept anyway. I think between the two world wars, somebody argued, you know, what's the point of invading? You know, in the past, you had armies and people stole gold and trinkets from your enemy and then went back home or whatever. Whereas, you know, his argument was having world war just destroys the aggressor as much as the defender, and that, you know, there's no real point in doing that. I suppose the only point is ideology, really. You know, you can dominate the world from a sort of totalitarian point of view or something. But that's more in terms of how things are controlled rather than the use of all sort of human concepts, really.
It could be just as equally possible that if the aliens are that much more advanced than we are, that for all we know, they had something to do with seeding the planet with life, you know, billions of years ago. And they knew full well that it would all evolve into pretty much what it is now. And we're just creatures that are mapping out all the natural resources and building an infrastructure. And for all we know, we'll just die off like the other animals have in past eras and leave the planet vacant for them to just move right in. And without having to fire a shot.
Oh, what you made me think of was the fact that perhaps, you know, thousands of years ago, we did send spaceships out to explore other worlds or whatever, and that the aliens are us coming back, and they've evolved, and we haven't, and they want to reoccupy Earth because they're the original Earthlings. But I think I'm transcending the boundaries of science fiction. I think this idea of warfare is also something that's very much in the 1950s flying saucer films, you know, War of the Worlds and, you know, invaders from outer space and that sort of idea of them landing and taking away women, basically, and destroying all the sort of iconic monuments of a world and that sort of thing seemed to be very much the staple of those sort of ideas in the 50s. I suppose it was also just after the Second World War, so in a way UFOs were seen as almost like a playing out of the Third World War, where we'd have atomic weapons and, you know, flying ships and things. So it was sort of like not just an intergalactic war or interplanetary war, taking, you know, warfare to a new level.
Now, what's interesting to me about so many of those early films is that aliens always had to be warlike, except kind of half and half with the day the Earth stood still, where we were warned that if we didn't follow the straight and narrow, they would take care of us in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's nice to have positive aliens like the ones, say, in Star Trek. And in the movie Forbidden Planet, there were aliens there, but the monster was really the id of the individual who expanded his brain but couldn't control the effects of it. So that was something else. That was kind of a Star Trek episode 10 years before Star Trek, if you realize that.
Yeah, it's very good because it has that Star Trek. It's almost like a pilot for Star Trek, but 10 years early. And like you say, this is a sort of invisible monster, and it's a monster created by our own minds. I think this is something some UFO writers have written about, that, you know, UFOs are like mind monsters, they're creations of our mind. And Carl Jung, the psychologist, also wrote an early book on flying saucers where he regarded that UFOs might be mental projections that might actually come into physical existence. But, you know, even if they don't come into physical existence, they're still very symbolic of our own fears that are projected onto things in the sky. And, you know, 1950s, all the films reflect, all the flying saucer films kind of reflect the fear of another war, and also that the aliens often represent, you know, communists, basically, and also the fear that, you know, the government will be taken over, you know, invaders from Mars as people with implants, and they become robots. So I think that's another great fear of the films of that period, that we'd be taken over and become sort of robots at the beck and call of the aliens. So, you know, it's quite intriguing how, you know, the subject evolved then.
And you see where, for example, robots always had to be evil, except for Data on Star Trek Next Generation. I was looking here while we were talking at the blurb for a book called Shoot Them Down, The Flying Saucer Air Wars of 1952. And we had Frank Ficino on the show to talk about that maybe 12 years ago, early in the Paracast history. And this was about the 52 and about alleged examples where we fired on them, which isn't such a bright idea. But that goes back to Day the Earth Stood Still, because remember what happened there. The spaceship lands, and Klaatu and Gort come out of the spaceship. And as soon as Klaatu reaches to grab something, the nervous soldier shoots him. In response, Gort fires on their vehicle, and they get off it. They jump off it just before it disintegrates. Hey, Nigel Watson, this has been a lot of fun, and we could have started on that subject and done a whole show about it, but we can't because we're just about out of time. If those people out there who are interested in all the good things you said want to reach you, do you have a website?
I've got a Facebook page. I sometimes write for the Magonia website, which you can look for if you Google Magonia, and my books are on Amazon as well if you're interested. My UFO investigations manual is actually at quite a low price in the UK. I think it's something like $27 in the United States, and you know, that's quite a comprehensive sort of guide to the subject. And it, just look me up on Facebook is probably the best way.
You know, speaking of prices for books, $27 is, you know, kind of mid-price. The third edition of Jerome Clark's UFO Encyclopedia, which is going to be out this month.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to list for $150. And they have a special price, by the way, $139. I don't think that Jerry is really happy about that. He's kind of bummed out about it, but it's an educational book publisher. So they know how to rip the public off. Hey, if you want to contact us, check us out on Facebook. Look for the Paracast. Look for two Paracast fan clubs. On FetSet, rather, look for us on Twitter as the Paracast, two Paracast fan clubs on Facebook, a group and a community, and we'll just leave them be. We'll have fun with them. We also have a second radio show called After the Paracast. After the Paracast is unfettered, uncensored. We just go on, talk about things, have special interviews, really exciting kind of special show, only for people who join the Paracast Plus. If you join the Paracast Plus, you'll get After the Paracast, a version of this show to answer those on YouTube who can't stand commercials, free of the network ads. All that excitement, and it only starts at $1.49 a week at plus.theparacast.com for more info. And by the way, if you order a 5-year or lifetime subscription, we give away lots of free stuff. Check it out, plus.theparacast.com. Nigel Watson, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Great, thank you for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.